to another fun-filled episode of the Fantasy Lounge Podcast. This week, Kevin and I get heated over LeVon Hernandez, T.O., and Mike Bell.
We'll also discuss a hurt Cy Young candidate and an NFL legend fading away. We start with the possibility of the biggest news affecting fantasy leagues ever, in a landmark case, a judge ruled that Major League Baseball cannot require fantasy sites to be licensed through the League of Players Association. Brandon, help us understand this.
Well, it's quite simple, actually. A fantasy company run out of St. Louis, Missouri, CVC Distribution and Marketing, they sued Major League Baseball because they wanted to charge them for using players' names and stats because the Players Association and the league don't feel that you should be able to make money off of their stats without being licensed. So, in essence, what Major League Baseball was trying to do was make it to where every site that runs fantasy leagues, including ESPN and Yahoo, would have to pay them a fee yearly to run, because that way they wouldn't be using their, I guess they call it like their property, their stats and their player names to make a profit. And on Tuesday, a judge ruled that these baseball leagues are allowed to use the names and stats without licensing agreements because they are not the intellectual property of Major League Baseball. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, but in other words, it's stats you can get in the next morning out of the newspaper, and that should be public domain, according to the judge, and I believe it should anyway.
Yeah, the judge's name was Marianne Melder, and not only she did all that stuff you talked about, but she also dismissed counterclaims filed by the Players Association and Advanced Media of Major League Baseball. What is the motive for them doing this? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you don't see football going out there doing this or basketball going out and doing this. Is it because, in baseball you look at stats more?
I don't even understand, because 300 sites out there run fantasy leagues like Yahoo and such. $1 billion a year is spent by fantasy players, spent on premium leagues, whatever. So I don't understand. And Major League Baseball is appealing this, but why? It's a loss. It's a lose-lose for the league. I mean, the fans pay money to play their fantasy games, and then the fans pay money to see their fantasy players in action. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched the game just because I have a fantasy player. Honestly, I could care less how the Royals are doing if I don't have their closer. I'm not gonna watch the ninth inning of their game on TV if I don't have their closer.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed this, I think in a past episode, how this can bring even more. It brings more, even more revenue to MLB, and with MLB extra innings and teams, everybody, a lot of people are gonna get MLB extra innings because they have two or three fantasy teams and they want to watch Kenny Rogers on the Tigers or someone they'd never watched and besides their team and just want to see how their fantasy team's doing. So it brings revenue to baseball, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a dumb move, and I'm not sure we'll ever see basketball or football do it. And football is the biggest sport fantasy wise, and baseball is second. I don't understand this, because even MLB.com runs leagues off of its site, and even some of their fantasy games, even though they're not true fantasy sports, are free. So, and I just don't understand how you can call something like that your property. And the judge actually ruled that the First Amendment takes precedent because the fantasy leagues are disseminating the same information that you can find all over the internet, all over newspapers, all over TV. It makes no sense at all, because what would stop a group of, Joe Blows out there from making their own fantasy league and keeping track of it on paper?
Yeah.
It's no different. It's pointless for them to try to take legal action, and it's stupid. It's a bad business.
Yeah, I think baseball's image has been hurt over the last, decade, 15, 20 years because of the strikes and all that that's going on. They can't, they don't need bad publicity. They're starting to finally get the fans back since, the last little layoff there. But, you know, baseball, I mean, baseball is, you know, still second to football. I mean, whoever would have thought that, you know, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, everybody thought it was America's pastime, and but football is now America's sport.
Well, back to the sport of baseball, where possibly the most remarkable rookie season ever is in jeopardy. Francisco Liriano, the Twins reliever-turned-ace starter, is out indefinitely with a shoulder injury. What's the latest, Kevin?
Well, he's placed on the DL Thursday. The injury is muscular inflammation in his throwing elbow. And while there's really no word on when he'll return, I mean, he came back, I mean, after he missed a start. And he, you know, he didn't pitch real well. He only pitched 4 innings and gave up 4 runs and 10 hits. So, you know, at his young age, maybe it's just good here to shut him down for a couple weeks.
Yeah, the good news here is that there's no surgery. It's just going to be therapy. And the biggest thing is strengthening, because apparently the doctors have told him that his shoulder wasn't strong enough to muscle the load. He, you know, this is a kid, he probably has never really hardcore trained in his life as far as weightlifting and whatever. He's, you know, he's a natural thrower. He's not a big dude, you know, he's not ripped by any means, so he basically just needs to strengthen his shoulder. And, you know, this kid, through his arm motions and his stuff and how hard he throws, it's easy to see he could end up a reliever again. That could be his niche. I mean, you could see him being a setup guy or a closer in this league, dominating for a few years.
Yeah, kind of like Eric Gagne. Of course, Eric Gagne, he wasn't as close to a dominant starter as Liriano was, but, you know, I mean, at his young age, you never want to take a chance. And it always seems like when a great young rookie gets to this time of the year, he always seems to break down. Verlander hasn't.
Verlander's.
It's just fatigue with him.
I mean, these guys have never pitched this many innings in their life, and then they're doing it at the highest level against the best players, and both of those pitchers are in a heated race.
Yeah, and a lot of times, even in the minors, they have pitch counts on guys, and you know, I mean, some guys, I don't know. You know, a lot of times I don't think you see guys go over 100, 130, 135, 140 innings in a year. So, and he's, you know, well, probably close to that now. So he's going to start tiring here at the end of the year. So it should be interesting to see.
But on the other side of the story, Matt Garza was called up. And Twins fans say he is something to watch. He's, you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We've seen the starters that the Twins have turned out. You know, the Johan Santanas, and here we got Liriano, so I don't know. He might be worth a look in AL-only leagues or deeper leagues.
But, well, yeah, there's no question that if the Twins want to compete for the wild card, they need Liriano back. As usual, there was a pretty big deal made after the deadline on waivers. The Nationals traded Wovan Hernandez to Diamondbacks for 2 prospects. He's scheduled to start tonight. Good move?
I think it's a good move for the Diamondbacks. For the Nationals, it's hard to tell what this team is thinking. They keep Soriano saying they're committed to winning, and then they trade Wovan Hernandez for nothing. And I understand that one of the prospects that the Nationals got, Chico, he had good numbers in AAA, but the other guy, you know, he wasn't that. Besides strikeouts, his ERA is horrible. So you got to question it for the Nationals, but I think it's a good deal for the Diamondbacks. This is a guy that's he's going to eat innings, which they need right now, and he pitches well under pressure situations, and that's what the Diamondbacks are in, you know, a half game out of the NL West. So if he pitches like he can, he has a chance to be the number 2 starter, and it's a good pickup for the playoffs, because now you have 3 solid pitchers to go along with, you know, 2 young guys, and there's a pretty good battle going on for that 5th spot.
I could be wrong, but I could have sworn Chico was the pitcher of the year in the Diamondbacks organization last year. I'm pretty sure of that. So he's got really good stuff. I mean, his ERA was under, you know, it was 2.2 at Double A. But you know,
but that's the thing. He's at Double A. How many pitchers do the Diamondbacks have that are ready to? They've got.
He's probably their best pitcher in their system.
But they have Cruz and Nipper and Vargas and who am I forgetting here?
Cruz, Vargas, that's it.
Well,
that's 6 starters right there, and then if you...
Right, but there's going to be a battle. I mean,
Well, I think
they
Melvin's already said that Cruz is out of the rotation.
Which makes no sense because Cruz has had two great starts.
Well, I think that he's pitched in the,
the
bullpen before, maybe that's why they did it. I don't know.
I'm also thinking of Enrique Gonzalez, who has shown flashes of brilliance, but lately he hasn't been so hot. But, I mean, there's four starters now to take two spots.
Yeah.
So it's not like this organization is dying for pitching. These guys are young. They're going to pitch into into their niche. They're going to be fine. But, you know, by doing this, the Diamondbacks are showing that they're, you know, they're ready to win. They want to make the playoffs, and I think they have a chance, pretty good chance. If there's even one injury on the Dodgers, I think they have a good enough chance to move past them. It's just all going to depend on if Maddox holds up.
Well, you know what? It could help your rotation, and it can also help your bullpen, because you could put Cruz or Gonzalez in the bullpen.
I like putting
down the stretch.
I like putting Cruz in the bullpen because...
Yeah, because he's got electric. I mean, he could be a good setup, man.
As Mark Grace puts it all the time, he probably has the best stuff on the entire team. Better than Webb's stuff. You know, he's got to polish it up. He's got to learn to pitch, but he has the best stuff. He's lightning. He throws fireballs. He's a good pitcher, but he just needs to get polished up a little bit, and maybe moving to the bullpen will help him do that.
I went to the Angels A's game a couple years ago, and I had they were like three rows up from the dugout, and you could just see right there, and he threw like 98, 99 every pitch, it seemed like. So he's definitely out of the stuff, and he could be a great setup man. And if they even bring Valverde back up, and Julio could be a nice three guys at the back of the bullpen. So and then it helps the rotation too. So good move.
We make the always smooth transition to football now, where we have some injuries. The highest profile injury is Terrell Owens. He tweaked his hamstring, has been out of practice this week. Kevin, how's he doing?
He's doing all right. He rode his bike the last couple of days. And he was in his Tour de France outfit with his helmet yesterday. That was interesting.
Yeah, Bill Parcells didn't think it was that.
Yeah,
that funny. I think it's.
It is pretty funny, but he won't be playing in the preseason game, his first preseason game, and he could possibly miss the second preseason game just for precautionary reasons. But you know, it's just precautionary, and T.O. will be fine.
Yeah,
I think.
He worked out with the fourth string quarterback after practice on Wednesday, and he ran routes and caught passes. And he said, quote, "I'm getting there. I'm not 100%, but I'm close. In the last day and a half, it's gotten better, and the pain has subsided a little bit." So at least we're hearing good news from him. They've listed him as day-to-day, so I wouldn't, you know, this isn't going to be real serious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's preseason. I mean, it's nothing to worry about. I mean, you know, the debate is if there is too many preseason games. I mean, four games is a lot of preseason games to play, and you know, Jeremy Shockey was, you know, quoted this week as saying, is training camp really necessary, and all the preseason games and everything. So,
you know, the way I see it, football is one day a week, and it's like that for a reason, because it is so physical and there are so many injuries. So I don't understand the point of having four preseason games. That's a quarter of a season played in the beginning for no good reason. And how many injuries do we see a year that knock a player out for the entire season that happened in preseason?
Yeah, and if anybody watched the Rams-Colts game last night, Peyton was just in there for, one possession, and then he was out.
Who in the world
wants to go to a game and see third or fourth string players playing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that's a waste of money to me.
And at the same time, it doesn't help the football team, because they're not seeing where they're at.
Right.
What they should do is play maybe two preseason games and move two of those back into the regular season. If you're going to play these games, make them worth something.
Yeah, and you know, what you could do is maybe you can play in the first game, you play your quarterback and your starters a quarter, and maybe then in the second game you expand it to, you know, to two quarters, or maybe even the whole game, you know, to avoid injury and stuff like that. But it's not necessary to have all these preseason games. One of the best backs in NFL history is soon to be retired. Curtis Martin has fallen upon hard times, and his career is now in jeopardy. How's this shaking out?
Well, it's not good. He apparently his knee is completely out of cartilage, and it's bone-on-bone action going on. It's almost like what they were saying about Randy Johnson a couple years ago, and see what happened to him. And this is a running back. His knees are the most important asset he has. He's one of the greatest in NFL history, but, you know, this isn't... It's not looking good for him.
Yeah, ESPN reported the other day, actually, that a person close to Martin said he's thinking strongly about retiring, and the guy that the report's coming from said he's would be shocked if he came back and played the rest of his career. So, I mean, this is real serious, and it's always sad to see a great back go. I mean, Marshall Faulk is having the same troubles with his right knee, and it doesn't look like he's going to ever play football again. And those are two of the all-time great backs of all time, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Jets do now. I mean,
we
don't have a true veteran backup. I mean, they got Cedric Houston and Derek Blaylock and a couple other guys, but
it's a strange situation.
Need to go out and get someone.
Because he did say that, what you were talking about, and then he also said about, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, that he does want to play, and he is working his hardest to get back, but he's just not sure if he's going to be ready to be there the opening game of the season. But the way he's talking, he does think he's coming back, and, you know, it's kind of odd to hear him say two different things within a week, but apparently the Jets have interest in a bunch of guys. Artos Pinner of the Lions, Tatum Bell of the Broncos, which we'll get to soon, and Marcel Shipp of the Cardinals. There's also a couple other names I know being thrown around out there. He basically has no fantasy value anymore. I wouldn't even think of drafting him because I wouldn't expect him to come back, and if he does, he's not going to play a lot of games, so I don't know.
Yeah, I drafted him at ESPN League, but it was like, you know, one of the last couple rounds just for another backup running back. But the other names that you didn't mention are like Thomas Jones, Chris Brown, Michael Turner. You know, anybody really helped the Jets. I mean, they don't have a true, you know, like I said, a backup, veteran backup running back. So I think Thomas Jones would be a good guy to get because the Bears, you know, have Benson, who looks like he's going to be the starter, and there's no sense of the Bears, you know, having Thomas Jones anymore, so you might as well get a draft pick or two for him. So, but the, you know, the Curtis Martin situation is, you know, it's real sad to look at, and hopefully, you know, he can come back and at least contribute a little bit.
But on the other side, another running back's career might just now be flowering. Earlier this week, Denver Broncos coach Mike Shanahan named Mike Bell, an undrafted rookie out of Arizona, the starting running back. Is Shanahan working his magic again, or will this even last 3 weeks?
You know, I don't think this is even that big of a news, because it's just for week one. I mean, you know, they still got Tina Bell.
No, but this is a big deal. He's naming his starting running back.
I mean, come on. You know, it doesn't matter who it seems. It seems like whoever he names, a guy off the street will get 1,000 yards for the Denver Broncos. I mean, really,
well, that's
doesn't
my
matter.
Point. I mean, is this guy going to be the next great runner? Look at Terrell Davis, who, if he would have stayed in the league a couple more years, could have, you know, been considered one of the best backs of all time. And you got Clinton Portis. These guys, you know, is he going to be the next Clinton Portis? Is he going to be the next Davis?
I mean, if some NFL team would have saw his talent, they would have drafted him. I mean, you know, how many...
Well, obviously,
see a lot
Shanahan's
of undrafted guys come in and start right away. I don't know.
But obviously Shanahan sees something in him, and you gotta look at what Shanahan's seen in other guys here.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say this won't last 1 week, and Tatum Bell will be, or the starter in week two, or Ron Dane? I mean, who knows? I mean, he could be a flunk and not play well in week one. I mean...
Well, his real test is going to be tonight in their preseason game against Detroit, because Shanahan has said if he can't block or do the other things that a running back needs to do besides just running the ball, he said he will not hesitate to promote Tatum Bell or Ron Dane back into the starting spot. So it does seem like he's not 100% behind this back, but either way you look at it, he's an undrafted rookie coming out of camp after a great camp and named the number one starter. I think, you know, he deserves a look at.
Yeah, I think he had a disappointing career at Arizona. I mean,
which is another thing. That's not a great football program it hasn't been a great football program lately. And, you know, the Pac-10 is not a real strong football division or a football conference, so...
No, not by any means. You got USC and... Yeah, that's it, right?
I think this is a team ASU, you know. But, no.
No, we're talking about good football teams right now.
Whatever you say. Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. Tonight is going to be a big test for him. It's all going to depend on, you know, if he does the other things, because we know he obviously can run if he's been named the starting running back.
Yeah, Shanahan must see something in him, so we'll see. We move away from fantasy now to another high-profile injury, but on the defensive side. Patriots feel-good story. Teddy Bruschi had surgery on his broken wrist this week, knocking him out for a month.
Yeah, he's been called the quarterback of the defense. He, you know, he's the play caller. Everybody knows this, and he returned from a stroke. It's unfortunate, but at least he's only going to miss preseason, it looks like. He should be back for week one, which is good news for the Patriots and good news for him. I mean, how can you not root for this guy?
If a guy comes off a stroke, I don't think a broken wrist will really affect him that much, and he'll be out there in week one.
Yeah, but...
I mean, come on now.
Talk about tough luck, though, too.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots have gone through so much the last, you know, 3-4 months. I mean...
Well, I look past that.
Branch hasn't, you know, signed his contract, and now you have Bruschi hurt, and Willie McGinnis, signed elsewhere, and... It's just been going through a bunch of stuff, and it's been interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting how they deal with all this. You know, they still got Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, you can't really root against those two. I mean, they've won 3 Super Bowls together. So I'm not going to quite give up on the Patriots quite yet just because of those two guys.
But probably the biggest football story of the week, although completely unrelated to fantasy, is the new NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. Thoughts?
I really like the pick. He's young, and it looks like he's going to come in and do a nice job. I mean, you know, Paul Tagliabue is arguably one of the greatest commissioners or leaders of any league ever, and he did so much for the league with the salary cap and creating new teams and teams getting new stadiums and all that, and just did a fantastic job and made, you know, the NFL what it is today, and that's the greatest league out of any major sport.
But the one thing he did do wrong was, when he left, he left a lot of problems. The new commissioner is going to have to deal with the labor situation and the revenue sharing, you know. And then he's going to have to look at the L.A. market and what are they going to do there. Are they going to, you know, are they going to put a team back there? What are they going to do? The good thing is for him, you know, he led the voting the whole way through the process, so... Obviously, they've picked the guy that they thought can do the best job. So now it's up to the league, and it's up to the owners, and it's up to him to get through these issues and keep the NFL going. I mean, I think the NFL has shown more resolve in getting past its issues than baseball, or obviously hockey, and even basketball. So, I don't know. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has, you know, proven experience, you know, through this job. I mean, he started as an intern in the league office in 1982. And they joined the Jets front office as a public relations intern. And then in 2001, he was appointed chief operating officer of that league. And then, you know, he's Paul Tagliabue's top assistant the last 5-6 years. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, a lot of Tagliabue's beliefs and ideas will come along with the Goodell.
All right, well, we have a little bit of a baseball update. In the Fantasy Lounge Keeper League, Zach is still holding strong in first with Panzram in second. Kevin's in fifth. I'm in seventh, though. I'm one game back of the playoffs, and I'm going to guarantee right here and right now I will make the playoffs and I will get far.
That's really not that much of a, you know, prediction. I mean, you
what
know,
are you talking about?
It's not. I mean, you're in seventh place. Okay, it's like. If you're in last place and making that prediction, I'd be like, "Oh, you're complete."
No, key word. I will get far. I will make it
far. What do you mean far? Out of the first round?
No, I'll be in the top three of the league.
Well, that's.
I'm saying it right here and right now.
That's quite a prediction.
It's.
I'll make another prediction. I'm gonna say I'll end up in the final two.
Wow, the final two, but you won't win it.
I think Zach will win it. I mean, he's been in first place the whole time.
That's not what you're supposed to say.
Alright, okay, well, I'm not as cocky as you are. It's just...
Oh, give me a break. Alright, well, then the other league we have, the FPM Fantasy Lounge Challenge League. It's a points league. Guru's in first. He just took first. Pans Rams in second there, which he's been in first all year, so it's about time someone gets to him. Snake is in fourth, and I'm in fifth. So we hold four of the top five spots, which I'm very proud of. Honestly, in that league, first place, I don't care, as long as the lounge wins it.
Can we go? I think I said it last week, didn't I?
Said what?
I said I'm going to be in first place by the next week. Didn't I say that? Let's go back to the video. Let's see if
I was
back to an older podcast.
Listen to this. I was in second place last week, all right? And then everything, it seems like the wheels are falling off my team.
Oh.
So
let's cry about it.
Well, I don't care. As long as one of us win, as long as a lounger.
Okay, I'll make another prediction. I'll win this. I'll win the points league.
Enough with the prediction.
I'll win by like 200 points.
All right.
Sorry, pans around.
Whatever you say. I hope he beats you. I hope he beats the crap out of you.
I don't really care who wins a league. As long as it's me, then I don't really care.
All right. Well, thanks for listening in, guys. Be sure to check us out at www.fantasyloungeforums.com. And you can email mailbag questions to admin@fantasyloungeforums.com. We haven't gotten any mailbag questions lately, so we'd love to get some. So we'll see you on the boards. Have a good week.
Peace.